This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, lot of sun. Smokey in the air.
Welcome to episode 305 of Forged and Drawn. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas. We're talking the Eagles-Jaguars preview. Obviously, there's each week has had a storyline, whether it's, you know, former players and some guy named Carson Wentz. and this week we get another well-known person that's well-loved. A person we could call a family member. Some people call him Uncle Doug. I feel like it's a weird situation seeing family members come back that you recognize, but they're wearing a different shade of, I don't know, what you call that color. But at the end of the day, it's going to be
it's called teal green.
Teal green. Going to say a shade of green, but Dougie Peterson is coming back to the link. If you want to boo him, I'm not going to – I might judge you a little bit. I'm not booing him. I'm going to give him his respect. And
should. There's a way to do it. You give the initial, yay, it's good to see your happy ass. Now let's get to business. Then it's boo. Everything you do is boo. Boo.
After the initial handshake, boo. We'll boo.
Yeah. At the initial, Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars – you give Doug Peterson a high five. Tell him to get on the other sideline. Get ready for your ass kicking.
I might feel that, but yeah. Are you going to boo?
After the fact, yeah.
Okay, but not initially.
Not initially. Doug's my boy. It's like I know a lot of the coaching staff too. A lot of the coaching staff was here. Yeah, like I played with Doug. Mm-hmm. Mike Caldwell is the defensive coordinator. He was a linebacker behind me that I protected. I thought that Doug was trying to bring him back here as a defense coordinator. He's a tremendous mind. He's a smart. We called him Zeke. His name is Mike Caldwell, though.
So I mean, if you play with Doug, you got to have
play with Mike Caldwell.
You got to have a Neil good Shuey. Dougie P. Doug, give me a good Doug P. story, real quick.
Which one? When they brought Doug P. here, it wasn't really any good stories because. Big Red tried to pawn him off like he was supposed to be the bridge gap to Donovan, and you should have just started Donovan.
I mean, you got any funny interactions with Dougie P? That
no, it was like when Doug came here, he was a little bit older, but it was just like he was cool. It was just like it was no embarrassing interactions because he was at that stage in his life where there's nothing embarrassing about it, and it's like the thing is, as I know. Our fans will have the class to initially when they say he's there, you clap for him. You clap for him because he gave us the first title in Eagles history, first Super Bowl in Eagles history. So you clap for him for them, but then it's back to war. Playtime's over. I got something real for you in these hands here, boy. Oh, sorry. Show now.
So, I mean, overall, I mean, I think Eagle fans will feel a certain way, but I feel like they will give him his respect at the end of the day. It is Dougie P. But I think this overall feeling of joyousness that the Eagles have given us after the thrashing, I said thrashing of the Washington Commanders. we're riding a high, man. We're one of the only teams left in the NFL. There's one other team, as the Miami Dolphins are also 3-0, but the Eagles are 3-0 coming into this game. And I feel like, how do you think the Eagles are riding off this victory?
You know what? I think the young guy, if this was any other time and any other like set of young guys, because these guys have been in big game situations by coming from Alabama. A lot of them come from Alabama. A lot of them come from Clemson. Some of them come from Oklahoma. It's like all those winning programs, they've been in like the national championship game. And I know their coaches to this day preach about eating the cheese that everybody's putting out there for you, waiting on you to get fat and happy off the cheese and the praises. So mm-hmm. I already know that that's what one of the things that Nick Sirianni is doing. And with these guys, you don't see them being satisfied with just, you know, with just routine victories. They're trying to get better. They're trying to become the best. And in doing that, this is one of those stepping stones. A lot of people are picking Jacksonville to beat us, but I feel like this is a step in the right direction for our guys to show that they're grown. You respect this team coming in here, but they're still a faceless opponent. And you go out there and whoop their ass like any other team. Yeah, it's cool that Doug's on the other team. He was some of our coach, but he's on the other side now, and we have to. That's just the way it is. And here's a statue. If you want to pay homage to him, pay it up to him on the way in the damn stadium, because it's a statue of him out there. Other than that, you whoop their ass. It's no nostalgic, nothing. It's a money talking bullshit runs the marathon.
So I mean, we have a resident millennial in the crib. How do you feel about Dougie P coming in?
Well, let's just address my entrance right here, because this season for me, while the Eagles have been doing well, it's been full of bad omens, right? I had my bumper fall off on 95 on the way down. And now, as soon as we hit go on the podcast, I managed to spill a Red Bull on my laptop. And that's why I had to dart out of here and clean that mess up. And then my camera wouldn't work. But to answer your question, to get back to it, what was it? It was something about being millennial and dealing with Doug Peterson.
Well, basically, this is what we said. We said, you're soft and you're a young guy. So how are you going to deal with Doug Peterson? I said we wave at him and then kick his ass. And then, now, what do you say?
Now, you see, from a fan... What? we need to keep the pedal down the entire game, man. I mean, you know, people have been talking about it. They're getting nervous about the Eagles not scoring in the second half. I'm not particularly nervous about it, but I would like them, especially in a game like this. You know, it means so much, especially how well Doug Peterson has been playing. I think it really makes a statement this week if you go in and you handle Doug Peterson handily, the way that we have been handling teams leading up to this point. So if you can just play a full four quarters, I think you put the entire league on notice. That's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, that's what okay. I don't think you have the necessary.
Am I booing? That was the question. Hell no, I'm not booing, bro.
No. This is what I said should happen. I say when they initially announce them, you clap for them.
Yeah.
After that, the gloves is off.
No, I agree with that.
If you want to pay homage to him, there's a statue out in front.
Give him the standing ovation when he first gets there, when they first announce him. But he's the enemy for the rest of the game, 100%.
Now Mark in the chat says, can't lose to the Jags, sweep the leg. I think that is my bias. A little Cobra Kai action, like, you know. I'm with
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei. Fear does not exist in this dojo. Nothing. No, Sensei.
Now, Daniel checking in from Sweden says, let's keep it up. We can boo 9 times this time instead. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I would take 9 sacks over 9 boos, though, if I'm being real.
Okay. Now, you know, Dougie P is coming in here with another young quarterback by the name of Trevor Lawrence. He's been anointed in the past as the next. But he's had his instant struggles as he started as a rookie. Right. And then, you know, Urban Meyer hasn't been the best cultivator of culture in Jacksonville. So
he's got the nerve to be on the college game day show.
That's unbelievable to me how quickly he got a job like, after that scandal. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah. with his hands in the young girl snatching at his restaurant. But you saw? I thought we were in a circle of trust.
Yeah.
Put him in the bathroom. I'm just saying.
Put him in the bathroom.
But back to what you're saying.
Trevor Lawrence, you know, the Jaguars are, you know, they're flying high. I think a lot of the media from Jacksonville have been ecstatic.
Yeah, get him off the screen. He's creeping me out.
ecstatic about what they've done recently. But how do you feel – Trevor Lawrence comes in against the Eagles defense?
This is still a developing quarterback as far as I can see. I mean, I think that his future is bright. I think that Doug Peterson is the right type of coach for him to have. But ultimately, this is going to be game four in a new system for him. We saw the success that he had week one against the team that we just played. So the fact that we were able to pick apart Washington, that he was able to do the same, you know, that makes me feel confident. But at the same time, I was just going to say that go ahead,
House. Well, no, I was gonna help you out a little bit because it was like the first game, it was kind of then the second game, his last two games, he's coming with the come on. This is what Doug is doing. He's mixing a lot of run. They have two good running backs. The 10th in the league in rushing with 123 yards a game, and they're passing, they're 18th with 257. That's sixth in the NFL offensively. Now, where I think that we, a lot of us are missing, they have an extremely young defense, but they come to play. The defense has come to play. The defense is currently right now seventh in the NFL. So this should be a quality test. They have stars on each and every level, of their defense. Up front, they got some monsters up front, and they run that all the defense coordinator. I know he's a Jim Johnson disciple, so I know he knows how to bring pressure right up the gut. And who's our weakest link? We hate to say. Who's also he's the weakest link, but they're gonna take advantage of Kelce because he's small. He's a smaller center. And they got a couple of big guys up front. They're gonna line up somebody. If you line up somebody over the center, then you'll know who the weakest link up front is, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to get them one on one so they can't double team anybody. So they're gonna run a three guy inside with two big guys on the outside, two big pass rushers on the outside. So it's gonna be one on one across the board. And they have some ball hawking safeties and safeties and cornerbacks. So this team is a young team that's well put together. And they're showing it like right off the rip. I didn't think they was gonna have it this quick, but they shut out Indianapolis, and then they turn around and whoop sweater knots on the Chargers. Now everybody's talking about the Chargers have injuries. But all you Yahoos that's talking that crap, talking about the Chargers have injuries, they won in April. This is what I was talking about. You know, when a team wins in April, they won in April. They're not winning now. Right. I don't know what it was or what they did to the football gods. Maybe it was a guy going for it on fourth down all the time and knocking about the playoffs. But that's another tangent. But this is a team that we should beat. And if we don't beat them, it's one of those things I feel like it's a letdown and we have not grown up yet. So this is a good test.
See, I'm not getting into this. I think some Eagle fans are like, at the end of the day, I don't think this team is built that way. I believe they do respect their opponent. I believe they're seeing each week for what it is and their opponent for what it is. But I feel confident enough in this Eagles unit defensively and offensively in the trench wise where I think we match up well. And I think we have the skill players at the end of the day to like get us over the hump. I don't believe that the Jags have seen a team like the Eagles as of yet. And true. I think it's a well-rounded team. I don't think it's the first game that Eagle fans are showing up early. So I think they're going to have their coffee. Eagle fans are going to be wearing Batman masks. It's going to be some superheroes. Hollis, are you going to be wearing any Batman attire on Sunday?
I don't know. You know, now that you mentioned it, I have so many Batman t-shirts. The choice is so infinite. My Batman attire goes all the way back to Michael Keaton. Actually, it goes back to Adam West.
Do you have a Batman medallion, though?
No. Nah, I can't say that I do have a Batman medallion.
Back from the 90s?
I have a 99.
Okay.
and I have a Mr. Krabs.
Well, one thing that I'm noticing though about this Jaguars offense, especially with Trevor Lawrence, he's spreading the ball around pretty like a lot. He's had eight different receivers the past two games. But like the way that I look at this Eagles defense, I don't think like anything like that exists. I think that our secondary is too stout to be able to allow anything like that to happen.
But they also have Ingram too, and he's got a renewed sense to play football. I think he signed a 1-year deal. They have a bunch of weapons, and then they have a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield. James Robinson, who was who's killing
NFTM,
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's, dude. And it's just like, is that Helen? She said it's a trap game. That's all I'm saying. I don't want it to be that trap game for us, because a lot of times when you say Jacksonville, it's like, oh, okay. Like, we, right. I know, you remember we played them in London? Do you know that two or three of their players got caught out there and ran up a $75,000 bill at the local Jiggly Room? The language barrier.
International waters, Hollis. International waters.
Different culture. I mean, the only thing trap that's going to be on is be playing is trap music in the locker rooms after we get a big dub. I mean, you did talk about the weapons they have on the ground. You mentioned James Robinson, but you also there's Travis Etienne.
Look at the size of his head.
Yeah, he got a big noggin there. He looks like a character. But in the passing game, you know, coming out of the backfield, he's been known to be elusive in midfield. The one weapon that you talked about, getting the ball, Christian Kirk, also big head. We're not going to do
big head, big paper, bro.
How about Christian Kirk is the guy who
like the biggest wide receiver contract is
also. Well, he set the wide receiver market.
Yeah, that part's absurd. Yeah. You think about how quickly or how much sooner Christian Kirk was brought onto the Jaguars, and then how Howie is able to finagle getting AJ Brown onto the Eagles on draft night, like, and what you paid to get what, you know? Sometimes it pays to be patient.
What up, Jason? Now, there are some pigeons on the offensive line.
Call out the pigeons.
Well, one of the pigeons we used to play against, and Brandon is Schaefer. Sure. We used to play against him. He came from the Redskins. He sucks big time. I don't know why he got paid. And the center is
Luke Fortner.
Fortner. Is his first name Lucky?
Luke.
Luke. Like Bo and Luke Duke, or like Luke Skywalker. But those two guys, they get their asses handed to them a lot throughout the game. That's like if I was going to attack anywhere, it would be those guys. The rest of the guys are pretty stout, and they try to set the tone a lot of times. So a lot of our guys are going to have to keep their head on a swivel and exact street justice.
You know, their tackles, Cam Robinson and Juwan Taylor, have been a solid for them. Like you said, their center, Luke Fortner, third round rookie. So you talk about ragdolling somebody. I expect Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargraves to do work. And I think off the top rope, then we have Jordan coming off the top rope.
I think they're gonna start Jordan early to like they did this time, and to tenderize the center. I noticed when we tenderize the center, because if you look at the offensive line, the center has to make all those calls. And if he's getting hit in the mouth, he's worried about that next punch. He's not worried about who's got what. So I think once you scare and rattle him, then you end there with swimwear.
Another formidable wide receiver. They have Zay Jones. He has 19 catches on the year, 173 yards. He's got one touchdown. And then you have Marvin Jones Jr. Made some money for himself in Detroit. He's got 11 catches on the year, 104 yards, and he's got a touchdown as well. Evan Ingram is their tight end. We know him as a inconsistent weapon.
Inconsistent.
They had so much hope for him in New York, man.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to be good, honestly.
Yeah, because I was like, damn, another Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, literally.
And he wasn't.
Yeah, far from it.
Yeah, somebody was asking about them bringing up Trey Sermon. I don't know. You think they are?
I wouldn't be opposed to it with Boston Scott if he's injured. Yeah.
Is Boston Scott injured?
Scott has he's got a rib injury.
Oh, yeah. He's got it. They got to bring up Trey Sermon.
He did not practice. And then I know Darius Slay. He has a little, it was back. It said back. Did not practice. Yeah, I think he's going to be okay.
It was just one of rest type thing. He's a season vet, you know. As long as he practices Friday, I'm good.
Yeah, he's all right.
Didn't AJ Brown take a page out of Mal Davis's book this week too?
I think he has a kid on the way. So for personal reasons, he was on the injury report, but I feel like he's about to have a child. I think he's gonna have a son.
Him and Mal Jr. could do one on ones.
Yeah. speaking of Slay, Jennifer Slay did confirm that she is coming to a tailgate.
Oh, cool.
And she might, I heard through the grapevine, that bringing Darius Slay merch signed.
I thought he was like, oh, he gonna come before the game.
But see, that pause was just nasty, Gail. What you just did to the people there. Bringing Darius Slay merch.
Yeah, he has a game to play. But if you come to the tailgate, you'll have an opportunity to grab some of this merch. So it's only for people that are coming to the tailgate. So
okay, don't go breaking Evan's heart.
Looking forward to that though.
I got a quick question for both of you guys. You guys going to take a special picture by the statue before you go into the game?
We might have to, Gail.
A special Philly.
What's your thoughts on that statue, Hiles? Because the way that you say that makes me think that you're not a fan of it.
No, I think it's cool.
Okay.
But I think it ran Carson out of here.
That's for sure.
I can't even sleep. I can't even go to work without seeing Nick Foles. I was like, man, come on. He was crying like a bitch. But I digress.
Now, Hollis, if they put your back up and made a statue of him, would you feel a certain way?
If they put who? Me back up?
No, your backup defensive tackle.
If he was the Super Bowl MVP, I don't give a damn. My ego is not that big. I don't give a damn. As long as I'm getting paid and I'm doing my job. I put it this way. If somebody else takes my job, that's what they did. They took it. But it's not gonna be for lack of me busting my ass to keep it. I felt like all that stuff he was doing was bitch made. I was looking for the Carson from 16, 17, those 2 years.
Yeah.
And he just folded up like a chair.
But yeah, he's in the past now.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. But I mean, what would you do for, man, I wouldn't give a damn. We won a Super Bowl. I'd be shining my ring.
Shout out to AJ, voice of an angel. As fun as these games have been, one game at a time. And I think AJ, the coach, it's making a good point there. One game at a time.
17 round fight.
0-1. We're trying to be 1-0.
You know who's undefeated though? Shout out to Alex. He's Chef Alex. He will be attending the tailgate, and he is bringing some food that he's going to talk about. We'll be bringing him in at the end of the show to talk about what he's making for the tailgate. You've seen him on live streams. Now he makes some really. I know this is your favorite word, Hollis. Delicious.
Tender and delicious.
Tender and delicious. He's gonna make some delicious food, so he'll be talking about that soon. But talk about what are your guys' biggest concerns versus the Jaguars?
I think it has to be this coaching matchup, man. I mean, that's where the story is Nick Sirianni versus Doug Peterson. I think that Doug Peterson is definitely going to be drawing up a game plan where, I mean, he wants to show us that we made the wrong decision in getting rid of him. You know what I mean? I think he's going to get creative out there. I think that it's just going to be it could be a bloodbath out there.
Well, go ahead. Well, no, and you're saying that. I think the biggest thing is going to be their defensive coordinator, who Doug wanted to bring here. He's going to show his their defense is going to be all over us. It's going to be like some stuff we haven't seen. That's why I was like, this is a good test, because when we talk about coaching, I'm looking at their defensive minds, and their defensive minds are pretty much like the defensive minds of Jim Johnson. Like each one of these guys was either under Jim Johnson and coaching for Jim Johnson, and they think like him. You can see the way that defense plays. They try to give up 17 points or less, try to affect the quarterback, and try to get turnovers, and try to hold you at 33% or less on third down. That's when I was scouting them. That's what I saw. I saw I saw a young guy when I was like, oh God, So yeah, it's gonna be one of those things where it's gonna be a chess match between our coordinators. And I think Dougie P is gonna be out to prove something, show him that they shouldn't have got rid of him and should have gave him more range over his staff.
I think Daniel Wangler brings up an interesting point. What are the odds we see a variation of the Philly special by either team in this game?
I guarantee. I guarantee you, dude, it's going to be a Jag special. And so everybody copies off of everybody.
Yeah.
It's a copycat league. Well, you notice how we never noticed the play until we actually did it in the Super Bowl? That play has been ran a few times. Every time Tom Brady's missed the ball. And then I think we overthrew five on one of the plays. Donovan, we overthrew him on one of the plays in the end zone. I think we was in Arizona.
Yeah, well, the reason that play is so memorable is just because of the moment. I mean, you know, like that's the biggest stage it's ever been done on, and it was the way it was pulled off. It was, you know, it's in the Super Bowl.
Was that a mugshot of Joe Pistol up there?
maybe. Joe is in the comments. He says 31-14 Jags. I'm gonna give my biggest concern versus Jaguars. I think I'd say it for us to. You know, I feel like it's not the Jags, it's us. So I feel like downplaying. You got to play this game four quarters again. I need to see them play four quarters because it might take four quarters to beat this football team. You never know, but I don't think so. But I'm just saying it might be.
Nah, it might be.
I don't want to sleep on this team, man. I mean, I
think know you that, can't. You can't.
I mean, we're riding high right now. 3-0. We're smelling ourselves, but. Nick Sirianni was right, man. I mean, this is a 17-round fight, and you just got to be ready to fight each and every round. I think that if we come in here on our high horses and we think that we're just going to be a walk in the park, it's not going to be. And I agree that I think that you, like I said in the top of the show, you need to keep the pressure up all four quarters. Because if you dominate the first two quarters of the game and you have a nice, you know, three-possession, four-possession lead, there's plenty of time to that we've been giving it the ball back up. So you have to play all four quarters. Yeah.
Now Stephen K says he'll see you boys Sunday. I'll be at the game. Will you be at the tailgate though?
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Will you be at the pregame?
Now Bob from Down Under says you never say anything about Howie dumping the coaches when you talk about Wentz tank. The whole front office was in turmoil, and it's all Carson's fault. Their schemes were ideas on both sides of the ball sucked, and they were arguing over personnel and control.
Yeah, there was a bunch of ego problems that were going on in the building while Carson was there. And Howie Roseman isn't not guilty in that either. Howie Roseman's got himself an ego as well. But that being said, Howie's the one that calls the shots. And Howie has done a damn good job this year. So he may have an ego, I'm not going to sit here and complain about it right now.
Well, you don't want to complain about it now. But to even get to this point, it's a non-traditional way to run an organization. Most of the time, when you have an organization, you hire the coach, and the coach hires who he wants to get fired with. It's rare that you come into a situation in which Doug came into, because they were trying to pass him off to us like he was this, like they did this long ass search for him, and they came up with Doug. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "But you all had already hired the offense coordinator and the defense coordinator with him." Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah. Well, when they got Chip rid of Smelly. Him, but before they, well, the reason why everything went to hell in a handbasket with him was because Howie fired one of his guys because one of the guys wasn't listening to Howie, and Howie, he was giving him a football decision, and he was like, "Don't worry about the football, you just worry about the money." That's where the ego stuff comes in, and a lot of people don't know that it's a special kind of relationship. I think they have. I think he trusts Howie over anybody else. So as you can see, he's lasted every storm. And if you notice, no coach with any pedigree will come here. If you must really want to be a coach to come here. So and it's not so much an indictment.
You got training wheels, man.
Well, yeah, but if you want to be a good coach and you feel like they put you in the right position, this is not a Raiders destination. This is a team with a town and the people have a say so, and you will be that you will do good, or you will be ousted, and you'll be like, oh, they hurt my feelings. Yeah, you hurt our feelings by putting that trash on the field. But to what he was saying, it was a complete turmoil, and Carson was the culprit of most of it because they were kind of fighting over him playing. He was leading the league in picks, and Doug didn't want to play him because you gave me this shiny other new toy. I would like to use it. So,
well, I think that just to build off the point that you just made and what you were saying, like you said just a couple minutes ago, how if you know you're a coach, a head coach, you pretty much tend to hire the team that you'll end up getting fired with if you don't end up working out. A lot of the times, the way that works out too is if you bring in a new head coach, they want to bring in their own quarterback and start their own system. I think it's pretty interesting in this scenario, however, that both of these head coaches inherited quarterbacks from previous regimes. So, you know, neither of them really got to pick their quarterback and were kind of just dealt with and trying to fix what was left for them.
Well, yeah. Last week I did have a conversation with Howie, and I said, make sure you get shit right or I'm going to have to come and step in. And he said, okay, I got this. He said, now get back on the sideline, just scrub.
Thanks, Luck.
Shout out to Lucky. Lucky's I call him Lucky. I don't never call him Lucky. Prime is working. Mal's busy being a father.
Yeah, he's busy being a pappy. Yeah, but I don't know. It's been quite dysfunctional. That's been quite dysfunctional for quite some time.
You guys notice the disparity here? Hold on.
What?
This and then this.
Damn, AJ, I told AJ like she's the voice of the angel, and I get that.
What she? You ain't shit, Gil.
I want to know what. I think we have to go back and readdress AJ's other point, where she, in all caps, hates the statue. Is there other fans out there that are not a fan of the statue? I always thought it was cool. I mean, pays homage to the one Super Bowl we have as a team.
You know what's funny? I actually was there on the unveiling of the statue, on the event. And that's where I met Bud Light. Shout out to Bud Light, who supports the tailgate. That's where I met Bud Light. Right. And we hit things off. And then they did the artist that made the statue gave me a shaving of the statue. So I have that in this case. But I'm like, I've never broke it out anywhere. I'm like,
please don't. It'll be cheesy as hell.
I was like, should I?
The thing was, the statue was cheesy. Case
with the shaving.
This thing, it was cheesy when they were here. It's not so cheesy now because neither one of them are here. But when they first unveiled, I was like, yeah, get a victory, a little time to, you know, cycle.
Too early?
It's kind of like that. They didn't put the Rocky statue up after the first Rocky, did they?
I'm not a huge fan of the Rocky statue, and I hate that. Like the Rocky statue doesn't bother me. It's how like whenever there's a national game here, how it's a focus point of the Rocky statue, and it's like you know, Philadelphia. I understand what they're trying to do because it's tied to the city, but at the same time, a fictional character doesn't speak for the city of Philadelphia.
Now, Jason, shout out to Jason. We chill with Jason in Detroit. I said he asked, will our OC's play calling be more aggressive than Doug?
That's interesting.
Good question.
Yes, it's a good question.
I doubt it, man. I mean, if I'm looking at this realistically, when Doug Peterson was here, he was one of the most aggressive play callers that I had seen up until this point. I don't think that really changes with Doug. I think that him and Nick Sirianni have the same bone in them where they love to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, I think that's a difference now that because Doug is doing the play calling there, but Nick Sirianni is not. Nick Sirianni took a back seat to that and then passed it over to Stan, right?
To Steichen.
Yeah.
Steichen. I think if you talk about aggressiveness, if you go rewind all the way back to last week, the squad was very aggressive and they let Jalen just rip it. And that to me, it's showing the confidence in our wide receivers just to let him air it out. I think we're going to see the same thing this week. I think, you know, they're going to show the ability to, their run defense is pretty strong. So let's rip it when we can. You know, like we're gonna. I feel like overall we can do both. We could do both.
I think we need to come out, strike first, strike hard. No mercy, sir. Just come out, yeah. Come out with guns blazing. Because well, if you don't, they'll stick around, and then it'll turn into a hard ass fight. If you come out and exact street justice and put your foot in their mouth, and then kick them in the ass.
Haven't they been coming out shot out of a cannon in all these games pretty much? I think it's now we not have so to much that you got to keep the foot on the neck. You have to
sustain it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to put your Stacey Adams on and show the insides of style.
Now Darren G chimes in and says we can't leave them hanging around on the scoreboard. We need to put our foot on their throats in the first half, then step all the way down in the second half with Stacey Adams.
Go for the jugular vein. Go for the jugular vein.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's see here. Other questions here that I had.
Who else got some stuff for you?
We're gonna be in G Lot, right next to
G2.
Infinity Live. Yep.
G2.
I'm gonna be at the Gatehouse.
Philly Sports in the Gatehouse. Shout out
the Gatehouse.
Shout out to Philly Sports Trips.
I'm going to watch the game at Dolan's.
Okay.
I always need a tailgate to go somewhere. And quietly watch the game without some of you yahoos. And those seats don't fit me anyway.
you should have just led with that, Hollis.
Seats don't fit me.
But here, Birds Ultimate Arizona Tailgate, October 9th, 8:30 to 12:30. Philly Sports Trips, 97.5. The Fanatic will be there. It's going to be a great time. A whole bunch of Eagle fans. If you didn't go last week, you have an opportunity to go in Arizona, and hopefully this is another takeover in Arizona. But shout out to them. Let's look at some of these matchups. What matchup are you trying to take advantage of? What is the biggest matchup you're trying to take advantage of?
The biggest matchup I'm trying to take advantage of is the center and the guard. The center and the guard trying to put clear and present fast pressure on Trevor Lawrence and shut down the run. Okay, cut out the play action fake. Dictate to them. Make them one dimensional. Have them running and stuff, and having them throwing on the run. He will throw you the ball, but he's a little bit more careful with the ball. He's making some quality decisions. So you had to put him on the run and make him throw the ball on the run. So he'll push him force him into a mistake. Because if you let him sit back there, it'll be like 7-on-7. And if you notice any quarterback that we let sit back there, they will pick up the part. It happened one time in the. Back in the Minnesota game, we had our foot on their throat, but then we let it up a little bit for one drive, and you saw him just pick us apart and march downfield. If you don't put no pressure on him, he will stand back there and calmly carve you up like a Thanksgiving turkey. So we got to put that pressure. I feel like we had the two guys in the middle that I mentioned, the guy who we used to play against all the time, Brandon. I know they're licking their chops waiting to play him, because I used to see them just destroy him. Every time we played, they were the Redskins then. They were the Commanders. Yeah. But I think we got to take advantage. That's the one thing I do. If you take advantage of that, and it'll break their whole offense down because they can't do anything. If you don't give the quarterback any protection or the running back any lanes to run, I feel like you destroy them.
Yeah, I do think making them one dimensional. I think that's been the thing. Seeing our birds just shut down running games has been phenomenal. We did talk about their two solid backs, but at the end of the day, I think Luke Fortner is that guy that is my number one pigeon. A big matchup. I'm not gonna say it's the, you know, I think we're gonna, it's a solid matchup. Walker versus Lane Johnson and Mulata and Josh Allen. I think that's gonna be they've been solid against a lot of these edge rushers as of late.
But the one kid too, Josh Allen. They got a kid named Josh Allen coming off the edge. He plays outside linebacker, but he's a rusher and he's a problem.
Yeah.
But we've been solid though, man. Like when you have those kind of tackles, you start thinking about tackles that have been the Trays of the world, Trey Days of the world, John Runyon's of the world. Like you said it and forget it. So we have that type of tackles these days. Like set it and forget it. You're good.
Offensively, I kind of want to bloody their nose a little bit and then hit them with a play action fake and get some big plays. I kind of want to exact my male dominance, and then have their safeties coming up, play action fake. Damn, he just ran by me. Mm-hmm. I hope he's going to get a hot dog. No.
do you think that this is a big game for Miles Sanders?
Yeah. You want to know why? Because they're first in versus run. They only give up 55 yards a game on the ground. That's why I was telling y'all. They're gonna make the quarterback beat us, and then they're gonna try to push him in. They're gonna try to pressure him and push him into mistakes. So our running, it's imperative that we get our running game started. Then Boston Scott is hurt, so they're probably gonna bring Trey Sermon up, and so he probably is not gonna need playing time. So it's gonna be Kenneth Gainwell, and our guy Sanders. He's got to come on with the come on this week.
For sure.
Yep. Because and also too, it's gonna be some times where our defense is gonna need a rest, or we need to get a first down or something just to keep them on the sideline for a minute to give them some rest. We don't want them playing 90 plays a game and no crap like that, or 70 some or 80 some plays a game because we couldn't stay on the field and sustain drives. We gotta sustain some drives because it works hand in hand. If we keep giving them the ball back, then we cool. We keep giving our own offense the ball back and keep them so they can get going. We'll be cool, but if we're on the field too long, eventually that opposing team will make some plays, and it doesn't give our offense any time to make plays.
Matthew Beamsterfer here. He's got a question. Uh-huh. Do you think the Eagles are laying off the gas when they get the lead, or do you think they're having problems scoring later in the game?
I think there's a little execution issues, but I think if I'm the Eagles and I know that I'm handling your opponent defensively, I'm gonna throttle it down and wind down the clock with running the ball. But I think you gotta execute better.
Yeah, but
I personally think that they're laying off the effort a little bit in the second half. I'm not so sure if it's an execution thing as much as just they're taking their foot off the gas, like he had said. And
I don't think they're taking their foot off the gas. You have to realize that teams make adjustments. We come against some real teams. Then and the other team, they're not gonna just lay down and just take it. It's like
Carson.
They're gonna fight you to the end. And most defenses have pride, and they're not gonna let you continue to score on them. Yeah, you might have a lead, but them stopping us, that's giving their offense an opportunity to come back. Now our defense has to step up and stop there and really kick them right in the teeth. Let them know that there's no chance in hell that you're coming back, so give the ball back to our offense. But we do have to start putting some points on the board in the second half so that there will be no resistance. Slay and Kirk.
Now Bob says, are you guys happy with our running back rotation? I'm cool with it.
I like a running back rotation right now. I mean, I was the one that was coming into the season. I was worried about Miles Sanders' health. I mean, he's played well, man. He's played well. He's staying healthy right now. Knock on wood. That's all you can ask for. I think they're doing well.
Jack secondary is really, is their weak spot? I wouldn't say that.
Devin Lloyd. I mean, he's been a guy who's been really good for them. I think he got.
I want him so bad.
He got one of the top rookies, defensive rookies of NFL as of late.
Yeah, he's actually been and he's now the defense coordinator used to play linebacker. So and he helps coach him too, and they have those guys. I mean, ready. That's like it's kind of. I don't know what it is about certain coaches that could just have a guy ready and so like just on point, just ready. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's had the kid on point and ready like he's been with him for a couple of years. So it's like the one thing that I know that will be prepared, they will be prepared to fight, and they're gonna fight to the end, and they're not gonna give up. So in the second half, we might not score that many points, but we need to score something.
For sure. So Rack Shack brings up Slay versus Kirk as one of the matchups. Also keep an eye on Zay Jones and Marvin Jones as well, with that Bradbury and Maddox on them respectively. Also keep an eye. You have to keep an eye out on Ingram. Not too much of an eye.
Isaiah White, you do have to keep an eye on him though. They're running everything with him. They're running from screens to pop passes, the whole shebang. They have him almost like a H-back sometimes. Or fullback, but they and the receiver at times, because he creates that mismatch against most linebackers. But I like Kazir White against him.
Yeah, that's
just don't have Hassan Reddick out there. Damn it, have him rushing the passes.
I just gotta ask though. I mean, after watching Darius Slay just put who I believe to be a much better wide receiver and Justin Jefferson in prison when we played him. I mean, we kind of thought that we were going to go into that game and we were going to have, you know, that Jefferson would be more bracketed. But I mean, he had a lot of like one on one with him. He locked him up. So I'm sitting here looking at that. If he was able to do that to Justin Jefferson, I don't think that he should struggle that much with Christian Kirk.
Things are week to week, and people are different, and those are two different body types. Captain Kirk can run fast.
Yeah, he's definitely a speedster.
He's a different type.
I know that. I heard that the Eagles were trying to get Kirk.
Yeah, he was.
They were trying to trade for him, but that didn't work out. But I feel like
he's a member of the Frugal Gang, bro.
He set the damn market. That. He set the damn market. I'm glad we have AJ Brown, but you talk about Darius Slay. Let's not forget about Bradbury. Bradbury's been solid.
I think he's been a solid corner. Yep.
I feel good, man. I sleep well at night. Last night I slept about 10 hours. Right. That's a lot for me.
That's almost more than a baby.
With the Eagles playing the way they are, I think I'm sleeping better. I'm feeling good about myself.
You sure?
Yeah. Why not? We're 3-0. Like, come on, man.
I know.
We are 3-0.
But which one of these Eagles wide receivers do you think is most likely to have a big day? I mean, we've seen Devontae and AJ Brown both pop off. Could this be a Dallas Goedert game potentially?
You know what? I'm thinking it may be a combination of Quez and Pascal with a little Dallas sprinkled in. Because they've been catching like all the passes that they've been throwing and stuff, so it's like I'm thinking that the way I know Mike, they're gonna bracket out number ones, mm-hmm. But they're gonna take like their second best corner and put on our number ones and put somebody over the top of them, the rest of the people they're gonna try to match zone with them. It's a funky defense.
You're bracketing two guys, I mean that is leaving somebody open out on the field.
Yeah, it looks that way until it gets picked.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I think Devontae Smith going off again, man.
You think?
Devontae got some juice right now. He's feeling it.
It might be a combination of both of them. I mean, because it's like who says they both can't catch a pass and go the distance?
You guys happen to see that Jason Kelce started his own T-shirt line, and it was immediately after the game. I saw that he was promoting Devontae Smith's T-shirt. I was like, look at this guy. Devontae blows up. He's pushing the T-shirt.
Yeah, posted.
He's one of us. One of us.
Devontae Smith also dropped his own a shoe wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's comfortable.
I know he's a big sneaker guy. I'm just going to be honest. I thought it'd be a lot better.
Oh, you're talking about the looks?
He keeps
it simple, stupid. I kind of like it. It's simple. It looks simple and comfortable. Hey, Jimmy Bacon, what's up, baby?
Jimmy Bacon, man. That's a great last name, man.
Yeah. Tell Danny I said hello.
Oh, man.
Now, talk about saying hello. We got Alex, bringing in Alex into the show. How are you doing, my guy?
What up, boys? How y'all doing?
Good.
We're 3-0, bro. We're 3-0.
I know. It's hard to be upset right now, right?
So,
well, you do seem a little somber.
You know, 7:30 at night, you never know what could happen.
That's
true. So this is going to be your second tailgate you're coming into where you're going to be making something crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy good. Crazy
delicious.
Good.
Delicious. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
So what is this tasty thing or delicious, tender
this
thing you're going to be making?
Delicious thing.
So we're going to be doing a smoked mojo citrus pulled pork sandwiches with some Fresno pickled chilies and burnt pineapple aioli. So yeah, getting weird with it.
He was texting me this the other day. I was salivating at the mouth, man. It was like he laid out everything. I was like, that all sounds phenomenal. I don't want you to change a thing.
Because your pulled pork last year set the tone.
I still think about it.
wasn't too bad.
It was pretty amazing.
Sold out, so that's pretty good, pretty I guess.
So, Alex, I know you've been listening to the show. How are you feeling about us going against the Jaguars? Are you feeling concerned? Or are you feeling like this is a trap game, as some might say in the comments? Or are you feeling pretty good about yourself?
I think every game is a trap game going forward. It's just losing to ourselves, probably, right? Shooting ourselves in the foot.
Not preparing right.
Yeah, you know, and even like the play calls, like how many times have we talked about that? Like, it's been an issue for a year and three games already, you know? but we're learning, you know, like that's a cool thing. Like Jalen Hurts, like who knew that he would be the explosion player that he is?
Oh, tanked it. I was going to say.
Okay, sorry. Other than...
Who
else is going to raise their hand? Evan,
well, because I've been defending the kid since we drafted him, and everybody was talking all that crap about this and that and arm strength and accuracy.
If you go back and watch when we actually did draft him, me, Gail, we were all doing a live show. I think my reaction was the most positive. House, just saying that, just throwing that out there.
The draft show.
Yes. Years ago.
Right. My reaction was, it's about time. So that it's not his successor, but it's got something when Carson holds the ball too long and gets blasted.
Yeah.
And we're not left with a 40-year-old who pulls an ass cheek muscle in the playoffs. That's what we're talking about, a team. Fuck Carson. It's a team. We're trying to win. Competition wins.
Yeah,
but continue, sir. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. But you need the best player. You need the best player in, right? Like, why are you going to have somebody that's holding you back? Makes zero sense. Okay, this is what I think. Like,
which one? Wait a minute. Whoa. You tried to sneak me there. What makes zero sense? Could we went up and got Jalen Rager again? Could we went up and got the boy, J-Jaw? Don't act like that this was a bad pick, sir. He's why we are 3-0. You will pay respects.
that's the photo I love. No, I think like just people, it's like all second guessing, right? Like I feel like we're like the second guessing team. I don't know, like you have all these second opportunity players, you have all these players that kind of like I don't know if he can really do it type of attitude. It's like, well, here we are, we're 3-0, we're looking at our head coach that gave us the Super Bowl, you know, so we got to give him props for that. But like, you also want to stomp out his team at the same time. Like, you want to show some disrespect because, like,
thank you.
We are finally who we are, you know?
Yes. Finally, somebody on the same page.
Give him some shout outs. Like, thank you. Hey, I do appreciate the Super Bowl. Like, we haven't seen it. And he got us there. Like, he definitely helped. Maybe not he specifically, but he definitely helped. Same thing with Carson. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm hoping I'm stomping out your brains on the, you know, on the side. And we score a 50-piece on you. I don't know.
Hey, am I wrong for saying that? You know who's, you know, someone who's not on the same page? Feast with Pete in the comments. He said we're going to go 3-1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, he's always said some stupid shit. I'm sorry.
No, but I want to kind of touch on your point there, Alex, because this was actually something I thought about earlier in the week, and it's about. Listen, I'm not ultra spiritual or anything like that, but I do believe that once Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was off this team, there was a different aura about it, man. As soon as I didn't have to think about those guys. We look like winners. I don't have to worry about, you know, are they really going to try and force touches to Jalen Reagor? Like, that sort of mentality. Once we purge the team of everything that needed to get out of here, the vibes have been different, man. The vibes on this team have been completely different. So I agree.
It seemed like you would have drafted Chris Winkie.
I don't even know who Chris Winkie is.
He knows who Chris Winkie is.
Yeah. FSU quarterback.
Yeah.
Played for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, he was damn near 30 when he's coming. It's kind of like when we drafted Danny Watkins, and Danny, everybody's like, oh, he's so tough. He's beating up kids. He's beating up 19-year-olds, and he's 26-year-old fireman. You kidding me?
I have a good Chris Winkie story. If you see me in person, you want to hear the Chris Winkie story. I can't tell it on the show, but I can. Tell it's it
too vulgar. That bad, huh?
It's just, you know, I want to be telling people's secrets here.
Okay.
On Sunday, I'll hear
it. He won the Heisman? This Winkie guy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. This Winkie guy. Look up who did you see who he go? What he was playing against too? Like Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson, and give me the other person.
I forgot. Somebody one of the other ones should have won though. He was too damn old to win it.
Ryan Leaf. But you knew that.
Ryan Leaf. Oh God, no.
Yeah, he was 26 at the time or 28 at the time, something like that. Yep.
He was pretty damn old.
Yeah. But yeah, I think our team is like second chance team. You know, like we won the Super Bowl, and all these players are over the hump now. You know, these players need to retire. These players need to get off the team because. They're saying, you know, Jason Kelce, he's too old. He's going to retire. Brandon Graham, he's too expensive. We need to get rid of him. Same thing with Fletcher Cox.
It's kind of like you want to get rid of somebody just because you. It's kind of like we want to make you retire and push you out of the kitchen. If the guy still has tread on the tire, I'm gonna use it till the wheels fall off.
I'm not ready to get rid of Kelce.
You can't get rid of Kelce.
No, you don't want that. It's like our team is like the second. Like,
there's no second chance. What second chance? Kelce, put it this way: who was you gonna get to play center?
Well, this year, after we drafted so well, I'm okay with saying Cam. In the future years.
Yeah, but after this season, But I wasn't gonna turn it over to that kid right now.
I was afraid when I heard it, like he might retire. I'm like, oh my god, like
yeah, because
like your dad, that's like your, you know, your dad like not going to talk to you anymore, and it's like that's so depressing. I wonder what you're up to now, and you don't know.
BG and Fletcher Cox, you know, two guys over the 30-year-old hump, and they both are leading the team in sacks right now with 3 apiece. Yeah.
Love that.
That's like the one thing, but I think. The one thing when you do have those type of guys on the team, you have to know how to practice them and how to keep them fresh. And because exactly. they come in handy in a time of need. It's like, I played for 15 years, and towards the end, I thought I was going to steal some years. I was still starting.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I swore I was going to steal the last 2 years. Yeah, no.
You got to keep those guys active and fresh, but you got to rest them as well once they get up there.
It's like and they help bring along the young kids, so you get the young kids, you teach the young kids how to be pros, and then they that's how you always have your core built. As those guys get along in the team, as long as they're not creating any problems and issues and stuff, and they're still conveying the message of the team message, you have to have those type of guys on the team. It's like if you don't, you just have a bunch of young punks. It's like, and you can second chance it all you want to, but I guarantee you, just like you saw when I hate to say it, when Jason Peters, when they threw him in that guard for the damn Dallas Cowboys, how they start flourishing on the run. I was like, motherfucker. I was like, we wanted you at guard here. It's like, and I'm not talking about every player, but it's certain guys that could play longer than other guys because they understand it, they get it, they know how to prepare for a game, and they know how to play. But I'm not talking about keeping everybody. I don't see the second chance part. I see some guys that we're finna usher out with a new regime. But we got to teach them first. And I was happy that we're teaching them first, because you just don't. It's kind of like you when you first learn how to drive. If your dad's like, here, go ahead and drive. It's like you have to turn.
If you saw my first car tank, you would say that. That's pretty much what it looked like.
Well, I kind of left you out because your bumper fell off on the highway. So I kind of left you. That wasn't for you. That was for everybody else. But yeah, it's and I kind of like the way they're doing it though, because that's how you build a program that's sustainable. Because each time the other guys start getting long in the tooth and stuff, you have a predecessor right behind them waiting to take their spot. So
I think we have the perfect.
Go ahead.
Now, I feel like we have the perfect blend of older players and younger players. I mean, a lot of young talent here. We got young real quick, and not just young, but these are young studs. So I feel like, and you infuse the right kind of leadership, young leaders from really good programs, and I really feel like it's a nice blend. Well. Then you sprinkle a little bit of Slay with the nice comedy, the humor, light things up, but also a leader. There's a lot of seasoning in the locker room.
What he said would be true if they were not producing. If they weren't producing, I would be right with you. We need to get rid of it. When your older guys are not producing, they ask need to be put on notice and gone. Because I can just let my young boy just finish it for himself. And that's just the way it is.
And then he gets to develop,
Yeah. So
I believe that. We know how we like to speak things into existence here. Yes. So we're going to talk about our offensive MVP. Offensive MVP against the Jags. Who do we got? Who do we got pegged for
let the
offensive
first.
MVP versus the Jags?
Well, you hope it. You want it to be Hurts, because that just means that you have like a pretty successful day overall, I would assume.
Right.
You know, everyone's happy at that point. I think it's going to come down to. I really do think we'll come down to Hurts. I mean, making the smart decisions. Like, they do have a very tough run defense. That will make
value as a game number one.
Yeah, like he's gonna have to make those tough decisions, and I would give it to him. Like, I think he will. He's that quarterback now. He's going to step up. He's going to do the things that we want him to do and that he should be doing. I think he will be the offensive MVP.
Darren G says, "I'm going Goddard this week. 2 touchdowns and over 100 yards." What about you, Hollis?
He just stole mine. I was going to say Goddard. I was going to say Dallas Goddard, mainly because I think the other two guys have gotten off, so they're going to try to stop us from going to those guys. I think Dallas is going to be quality, but I'm really going to, you know what? I'm going to go with Miles, because just mainly because of the, I think if we knock them loose and get them to coming up close on the run, I think then his part about Hurts being good, becoming the MVP, will work. But we have to make them honor and respect the run. And I think that's going to be really key, because I love our quarterback on play action fakes, and so the guys can go deep for those big plays. So we're going to have to run the ball. We're going to have to run it downhill, not east and west. So I'm going with Miles.
I'm going to go with the I don't want to say cliche, but sitting here thinking about it. I'm looking at the weather as well. And I was going to say Miles Sanders, but I'm going to lean Jalen Hurts, not so much for the arm, but for the legs. I think this is a game where Jalen Hurts could put up 100 yards rushing, maybe put a score or two on the board. I think that'll be the difference maker, make him the offensive MVP.
I'm going to piggyback off you. I think Jalen Hurts is on fire as of late. He's been doing everything right, man. And he's making good decisions with football. He's making good decisions when he has to run the ball. It's nothing seems forced with him as and I feel like he's really in a good space. So I'm going with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think he's just going to be given the opportunity to run the ball so much, and that's why I just think he's a more explosive player than the person against him, realistically. Like, he's such a crazy player that you want on his team, so you'll find any position for him. Thank God he's a quarterback. Like, he's going to make you look silly.
Now, who you guys got for defensive MVP?
It's hard to not pick on that line, man. Because like I said, I think it's going to be a sloppy game. So I think this is really going to be a battle that's fought in the trenches. I think that, you know, one of these defensive tackles, whether it be Cox or Hargrave, could really end up being a difference maker on that side of the ball. It's the same sort of formula as last week. You want to get you want to penetrate early, and you want to be able to get hits on the quarterback. You want to rattle Trevor Lawrence, and then, you know, you're living for the rest of the game if he's sitting there shaking in his boots.
I'm going to go with the linebackers, the linebacker core. They'll run the ball a lot to get Trevor Lawrence those looks and stuff. And I think our linebackers fits and flowing and knocking the crap out of their running backs, that's going to be key. And because they run the ball to pass the ball, because you have a young quarterback and you want him to feel comfortable every time when he does drop back to pass. And the only way you do that is to get your offensive line confidence and running the ball. When you get your offensive line confidence by running the ball, that means they put the defense on notice that we can do whatever we want and we will run the ball. So I feel like it's our linebacker core had the proper fits and knock them young boys on the ass.
I'm gonna go with Darius Slay.
There for any particular reason, just because his wife is coming to the tailgate?
Hold on. Did you just jump over him because he was gonna say Darius Slay?
I did.
Who's he gonna say?
I feel like
you just name dropped me. You didn't give a reason.
Because he's Slay, man.
Some people in the chat
are saying Slay. So
okay,
I'm gonna go with one interception.
All right. My man has been balling ever since he got here, man. Was there any for you guys when we got Slay our first year? It wasn't as productive as every year that he's been here since. Was there any of that in the back of your mind? Because we've brought in the big name cornerback. Time after time here, whether it be Namdi, whether it be Byron Maxwell, after Darius Slay didn't absolutely ball out the way he has the past few years, Gary Williams, was there any fear that we were going to have part three of that, or were you guys always confident?
Oh, confident. Confident.
You know what? I was pretty confident, mainly because the way he stepped up like a man and said he didn't play well. Yep. We have a guy that's not bitching and moaning about the fans booing and stuff, and he steps up and he takes onus to the product in which he put on the field. You know he's gonna come back harder and better than before. But when guys make up excuses and stuff and pussyfoot around everything and just start giving you excuses, you know that they're not gonna get better and they're not gonna do any better than what they did. So because he got too much on his mind other than football. So
Yes, sir.
I like that he brought an attitude that we didn't have. You know, we were missing that for a little bit.
I like the way he's developed as a leader.
Yeah. I think Gail's internet is pretty good right now. it's like the third time Alex has been in the middle of saying something.
I know. Gail's it's like he's just like, wait a minute, what?
It's all love. It's all love. I know.
Yeah, I want you to know that wasn't on purpose, Alex. I think he's got some spotty internet.
It's all good.
That's why I'm saying like one word, because I know it's going to be funky.
I got you. But looking at tonight's game, I mean, what's you guys' thoughts on the – there's some people talking about it in the chat here. What's you guys' thoughts on the white Bengals jerseys? I thought they're pretty hot, honestly, bro. This is some nice jerseys. I'm just saying that because the Bengals have had trash jerseys for as long as I've been alive, and they finally spruced it up a little bit here.
I haven't seen them yet.
You haven't seen them? No, they're pretty nice.
No, they're pretty
all whites, yeah.
Yeah.
They wearing white all helmet. White tonight?
Yeah.
Joe, do you see Joe Burrow's fit before the game?
I did not catch that.
Joey.
What's he wearing?
Oh, my God.
Joe Burrow.
Black and white floral. Oof. It was hot. Check it out. He's icy. He's, I don't know, man. Tonight should be a good game between them two. Like,
I think it's going to be a great game.
They're undefeated, but also their playbook just got blown up, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then you look at two because, like, after you watch the Super Bowl, you're like, man, they need to get some protection for Joe Burrow, man. Like, that's really the only answer they have. And then they do that, and now it's still just kind of like folding before their eyes.
Well, you know, the weird thing about just getting a bunch of guys, mm-hmm. they have to build continuity, and doing it. What the hell happened to Gale? Bad computer.
Yeah,
and building the continuity as an offensive line, that's the only way. That's the only way to get better. What'd you do,
bro? The internet is acting real, real shady out here. It must be the storm, bro.
Could be the storm. We got Ian, you know, cleaning house down in Florida. You guys see the videos? All those people going outside making videos out in the hurricane. People out of their minds, man.
Yeah,
stay inside and be safe.
Yeah, I know. But inside the house is filling up like a cup with water.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I would have. I think I would evacuate it.
Yeah, I would get the hell out.
But now we were talking about the building the continuity on the offensive line. It's like if you don't, you can have the best guys in the world, but if they're not working in sync, that's why defenses do so much stuff and do so much talking. Because if we run a stunt, you don't know. They don't know if they don't have any continuity of calls. They don't know are you passing it off? It's like, and then they'll run into the other guy if you don't pass it off.
Right.
And you have somebody running scot-free at the quarterback. So I think they just have to build their continuity together. But our offensive line had to build their continuity together too. You saw early last year we weren't on the same page. Everybody was giving up.
It's true, but I mean, with as much time that this offensive line, the core of it, has spent together, they have that camaraderie, they have that chemistry amongst themselves, where they're able to, even if they do have an off game, they're able to snap back into it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh man, I just saw the Bengals stuff.
Yeah, not bad, right?
The old uniform is white. This is tantalizing.
So as we head towards the end of the show here,
because such and such that we lost MC such and such.
Yeah, we lost MC Gannon. He's just in the back throwing up graphics for us. What are you guys thinking as far as a score prediction for this weekend?
You go first before Gil comes back and interrupt.
Oh, you know he's gonna.
much appreciated.
Go ahead, Gil.
I don't know. I think we could. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. It could be like 17-10. Like, I just think it's going to be a sloppier game, not too many points. Yeah, I'd go 17-10. Birds. Obviously, birds.
I like it. Yeah. Hollis, what are you thinking, man?
I'm thinking 24-10. I think it's going to be still sloppy, though. But I think we get that proverbial special team touchdown that I've been wanting. From our squad and start putting stuff together. It's gonna be a little sloppy, but I think we step on their throats enough to exact our dominance. But I think it's gonna be 24-14, and it's just the way I feel. It's mainly because I feel like our offensive line is gonna be working together to get the run game going. We've been passed, and then the run game will lead to us hitting some big plays pass wise. What the hell is he doing back? And I feel like I did. If we're gonna do something, our linebackers are gonna have to have great fits because they run the ball and they run the ball well. especially for a young line. And that makes the guys that are my pigeons, that makes them get more confidence when pass blocking. So you're going to get some holding calls, but 24 to 14, Birds. The Birds.
All right. I think that the weather is going to be a big factor in this game. If it's coming down how I'm anticipating it coming down, I think that it's going to limit the amount of passing that goes on both sides of the ball. And, you know, if the Eagles can dominate in the run game, we'll still be all right. I think that this defense has been absolutely balling to start off the year, man. And I'm hoping that they can keep the clamps on for week four. My prediction, I see a heavy running game. I think somewhere in the ballpark, I'm going to say 20 to 10 Birds.
Mm. I'm going to go, if y'all can hear me, I'm going to go. They've been putting up points, man. I feel good about this offense. I'm going to go 28-17. Birds. Right. I'm not worried.
Not I'm concerned. Okay, as long as we win. As long as we get that W.
Yeah, get that W, baby. Is,
you know. That's what we expect every week. So.
I mean, I feel good, man. I'm not going into this fear. I'm coming from a fear-based system these days. Like, when you start feeling good about your team, when you start seeing what you want to see from these guys, again, we haven't seen their best football yet. We haven't seen their best football yet, and they played like this. So if we see their best football, hopefully it's this week. Hopefully it's early, you know, an early game at 1 o'clock. The vibes will be right. I feel like the energy should be good from the stands. It was great against the Vikings. I mean, there was great energy in there. I feel like it's going to be continued as well. But last word before we get out of here, my guy.
Is he still with us? Last word.
He went into the void, I think, as he said that. I still see him sitting there smiling.
I know.
Alex, your last word while I bring in a great picture of Gale that I grabbed the other night for the people.
Last word. Thank you for having me on here.
Of course.
Gale Birds. Follow me at one the juggernaut, please. I'm excited, man. We're gonna. I think it's gonna be a good game. I think we're gonna be high fiving and slapping each other's hands and going crazy, and yelling at people. Slap hands. So I'm excited, man. You know, any Sunday when the Birds are on, it's gonna be a fun, exciting game, and I think it'll be a happy, fun, exciting game for us.
I just know one thing. I'm going to be sitting there with a stomach full of some of your pulled pork, bro. I'm going to be happy about that. Really looking forward to the tailgate. Looking forward to seeing Mrs. Slay, who's becoming somewhat of a regular at the 4th and John tailgate.
You sound like a stalker.
Hey, she comes to us. So,
that's what all stalkers say.
Where I was. I'm excited for the game, man. I'm excited for the reunion of the matchup between the coach of old versus the coach of now. It's going to be great, and I'm going to be sitting in the stands with the opposite face of this.
Man, my last words, go Birds. It's the beginning of the season has exceeded my expectations. I think they will continue to exceed my expectations and get better each week. I'm expecting big things this week, especially, like I said, from the special teams. I'm expecting us to have a stellar special teams game. And I think that will be like the key to getting that, the lead, the edge in which I said, the 24 to 14. I think that if we're going to get a special teams touchdown finally. So,
my last word. I think we're going to ride these good vibes, man. This 3-0 streak is here for a reason. This is a good football team. I think Dougie P comes in here. You know, might tug at the heartstrings, but like Hollis started at the beginning of the show, you shake that hand and curb stomp him. I feel like it's going to be
hip toss.
What we did to Wentz, I think we're gonna do the same thing to Trevor Lawrence. Okay.
Yeah.
Love it.
We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.